The book of the prophet Hosea in the Old Testament, after the book of Daniel, before the book of Joel, you have Hosea. And these words that we read in verse 4, chapter 14, verse 4. Chapter 14, verse 4. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. And our subject this morning is loved freely. Loved freely. Well, we come to this book that we don't often visit, the book of Hosea, written around 700 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these words that we will consider this morning, this very verse, verse 4, is a wonderful verse because we see, even in this Old Testament book, words that clearly speak of gospel grace, of the same grace that we see in the New Testament. We see it here in the Old Testament, and particularly in these words, I will love them freely, found in the Old Testament, but speaking of the grace, the wonderful grace that we see in the New Testament and in Christ. Now, just to give a little bit of context regarding the prophet Hosea, I won't be long with this, but Hosea was a prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel. Many of you will know that after the time of King David and King Solomon, Israel as a nation, the nation that Moses brought up out of Egypt, they split into two. There was a northern kingdom of Israel, and there was a southern kingdom called Judah. And Hosea, he was a prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel. And sadly, he lived in a time when Israel was in great decline, great spiritual decline, great moral decline. They were engaged in much idolatry, the worshipping of false idols. They were meant to worship the true God, the one and true God who had brought them out of Egypt. But what were they doing? They were worshipping idols, the idols of all the nations round about them. And well, all sorts of things had come in because of that. They were given to immorality. They were given to corruption. And so they were in a dreadful state. And because of their sin, well, they would be judged. The northern kingdom of Israel, they would be invaded by a great army. The Assyrian army would come and would oppress them and would conquer Israel. And the prophet Hosea, well, really, he's warning them. He's warning them, and he's saying to them, because of your idolatry, because of your sin, well, then these terrible things will come upon you. And Hosea is warning them of those things. But there is also hope. There's a call to repentance. And this is what Hosea is doing, particularly in this chapter. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Israel, you have fallen, you have sinned, yes, you are corrupt, yes, but there is an invitation given by God for you to return, for you to come back to him. And of course, this is the message that we preach every Lord's Day morning, that there is this invitation that goes out from God. We are sinners. We'll speak about this a bit later. We are fallen by our sins, but the gospel is an invitation to return. You can come back. You can repent. This is what the Lord wants. He wants you to return to him. He wanted Israel to return to him. And he wants us, each and every one of us, if we have strayed from the Lord, he wants us to return to him. So yes, there was warning from Hosea, but there is also that call, return unto the Lord thy God, because this is what he desires for you, O Israel, return unto him. And so, therefore, we have these words, and these tender invitations return. Why? Well, we see it in verse 4. I will heal their backsliding. If you only return to me, I will heal you. And we'll speak about that in a few moments. And I will love them freely. I will love them freely. What wonderful words that we read here in the book of the prophet Hosea. They're the words of the Lord, of course. And I just want to spend a very brief time focusing on those words. I will love them freely. Now, it's that word freely that is of particular note to us this morning and what I want to focus on this morning. That word freely. We all love to receive something free, free of charge. Of course we do. There are not many people who will turn away something free. We love to receive things freely. In fact, it gives us an unusual joy when we receive something freely, when somebody gives something to us free of charge. There's something unusually joyous about that. And part of the reason why that is because we live in a world in which we're expected to pay for everything. We're expected to pay even for the very basic things, food, water, housing. We don't get those free. We have to pay for all of these things. That's what the world demands payment. If you want to eat, you have to pay. If you want to live somewhere, you have to pay. And so when we hear words such as this about something given to us freely, well, then there is an unusual joy about that because everything else around us we have to pay for. And yet we come into church, we open up the Word of God, and we hear God saying to us, I will love them freely. This is what makes a Christian rejoice. Why does a Christian rejoice, people say? Why does a Christian worship? Why do Christians love God so much? Well, it is because we have received so much from the Lord freely. Freely. If somebody gives something to you freely, well, of course, you feel as though you must thank them. You must say thank you. You're giving this to me freely. Thank you so much. And your heart is inclined toward them. You start to have affection for them. You love them. You gave this to me freely? Oh, well, this is somebody I must love who is worthy of my praise, worthy of my heart. And this is why Christians worship and praise God, because this is the nature of the gospel. We have been given the salvation of the Lord freely. We haven't had to pay for it. If we had to pay for the salvation of God, it wouldn't be worth praising God for. We wouldn't really feel like worshiping God if we have to pay for the salvation of God. But it's because we are given these things freely. This is why we come. We worship God. We praise Him. We serve Him. This is the nature of the gospel message. This is what is so wonderful about the Christian message. We receive the salvation of the Lord freely. We know the blessing of the Lord freely. This is the gospel. This is the good news. The good news is not that we have to pay for salvation. It's free. The gospel, good news. And we read it here in Hosea. I will love them freely. And well, Isaiah, a prophet who also preached around the same time, he said these words, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. In other words, what the gospel offers, what the Lord offers to us is those free blessings. Come, take all that you need, says the Lord, without money, without price. It's the opposite of what the world says. The world says pay, and the world gives you the price. What does God say? What does the Lord say? Without money, without price. In other words, freely. And so this is why we rejoice in the gospel and in the Lord. But of course, this teaches us also a lot about the heart of God Himself. A lot about God Himself. Somebody who gives to others, freely is, of course, somebody who is very kind. If you go around giving things to people freely, well, you are a kind man, a kind person, somebody who generously supplies the needs of another freely. That is somebody very kind, not expecting anything in return, not receiving anything in return. Isn't that kind? Well, this is how God is. This is the heart of God. He gives freely. He is so full of kindness, so full of loving kindness, that he gives to us freely. He is so generous. He is so kind. And well, you think specifically of what God has actually given to us freely. What has God freely given to us? Well, let me put it to you in this way. You know, sometimes when you see somebody on the street who is poor or who is homeless, well, you may give them money, you may give them a few coins, but normally you don't give that much, it's limited. Not many people would empty out their whole wallet to give to somebody on the streets. Not many people would go to the cash point and get the largest amount of cash and give it to them. We wouldn't do that. We'd give a few things, but it's always limited. Or you wouldn't say to a homeless person, well, why don't you come and live in my home? I'll move out. You take my home. You take my home. You take my belongings. All the riches that I have, I give to you. Nobody would really do that. They'll just give a few coins out of their wallet and that's it. They wouldn't give all their possessions. They wouldn't give all their riches. Of course not. But you see, God has, in a great sense, he has given us everything, all his possession. In sending the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what he did. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, well, he is the Son of God. We say this so often. He's the second person of the triune Godhead. He's equal with God the Father. Christ is the very glory of heaven. He's the very riches of heaven. And so when God the Father sends God the Son, there is a great sense in which he is giving us freely everything that he has. Take everything that I have. I don't just send an angel, a created angel. I send Christ, the Son of God, who is divine. I send everything, the very riches of heaven, and I give it to you freely. When Christ appeared on this earth, when he was born of a virgin, when he grew up in Nazareth and preached in Galilee, showing forth wonderful miracles and preaching wonderful words, nobody had to pay for that. Nobody paid a single thing. God the Son came into the world freely. And this is what we read in the scriptures. This is what we read, of course, in the most famous verse of the Word of God, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. This is the measure of his love, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is what he has given to us. Not just something limited, not just the equivalent of a few coins in his wallet. He's given us everything, the very riches of heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ, I will love them freely. Do we understand this? Do we take it in? We must do, dear friends, because these are marvelous things. I will love them freely, says the Lord. Now, we have to consider also that this is the only way that God will love us. It's the only way that God will love us. God will only love us freely. God will only love us freely. Now, I say this because some people think that they can deserve or earn the love of God. They can earn the love of God. Some people think that. Many people think that. Some people think, well, that they can, through their religion, through their attendance at a place of worship, they can deserve the love of God. They say to themselves, well, if I want God to love me, I'll be a really good boy or a really good girl. I'll do lots of religious things. I'll go on pilgrimages. I'll say lots of prayers. Maybe I'll fast once or twice a week. And then I'll deserve the love of God if I do all of these things. I can earn the love of God. But that's not how we know the love of God. That's not what is written here. What is written here is that God will love us freely. He loves us freely by grace. This is how we are saved. It's not by works. It's by grace. We cannot be accepted by God through our works. And again, we say this so often because God, his standard is so high. He is holy, the holy God of heaven. He is divine. We cannot by our works reach his standard. We cannot be truly accepted by God by anything that we do, not by the works of our hands. It's only by faith that we can be accepted by God, only by faith. And that is so important for us to understand. Do we have faith, dear friends? Faith, by the way, we have to say this, faith itself is a gift of God. It's given freely to us. We cannot produce faith of ourselves. We cannot do it. And I've said this many times. People will sometimes ask me, I wish I had your faith. Where do I get your faith? And I say to them, you have to ask the Lord. It didn't come from me. I'm not a super spiritual person. There was a time when I was the least spiritual person you could ever meet. Carnal, lost in the world, loving the things of the world. I could never produce faith. I have faith because it's a free gift from God. Again, he will love us freely. He gives these things to us freely. He gives us faith. And it is by faith, faith alone, that we are saved, dear friends, not by the works of our hands. Even the Israelites said this. We will say, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. It's not by our works that we will be accepted by the Lord. It is by faith. Faith. Faith is so wonderful. Faith. Let me just say a few things about faith before we move on. What does faith do? What does faith actually do? Well, faith, and this is important to understand, faith does not earn the salvation of God, as I've tried to make clear. It just receives the salvation of God. That's what faith does. Faith is a receiving grace. It's a bit like if you saw somebody on the street again, a beggar on the street, a beggar stretching out his hand. Well, when a beggar stretches out his hand, he's not earning anything. He's just expecting to receive something, to receive something from the person who's passing by. And that is what we do. That's what a Christian does. When he has faith, all he's doing, he's looking to God in expectation of receiving something freely. That's what our faith is. Faith is not, Lord, look at me, I'm a good person. I deserve to go to heaven. That's not what faith is. Faith is a stretched out hand. Lord, give me something freely. I need something freely. That is what faith is. It's a receiving grace. And this again is so important for us to understand. And it is in complete agreement with what we read here. I will love them freely. Faith and faith alone will save us. And these things are so very important. But then, well, look at the first part of the verse. Not only do we read that God will love them freely, God heals them. I will heal their backsliding, he says, of Israel. Well, Israel, as I've already mentioned, Israel had turned away from God. Israel was worshipping other gods and idols and had rebelled against God. That is very true. And it's seen as a sickness. This rebellion against God is actually pictured as a sickness because God says, I will heal their backsliding. They have gone away from me. They've rebelled. They've worshipped other gods. Do you know this is actually a sickness that needs healing? I will heal their backsliding. That's what God said to Israel. You are sick. You need to come to me for healing. But again, of course, it's not just Israel that is sick in the Old Testament. The teaching of the Word of God is that all of mankind is, in that sense, sick. Not physically sick, of course, but spiritually sick. Our souls are sick. And this is so obvious. You know, when we look at the world, when we watch the news every day, can you not see that the world is sick? Mankind is sick. It's so obvious. All the crimes, all the corruption, all the fear and the confusion, all the wars. We are sick and we cannot heal ourselves. So many times in history, men have said there will be no more wars. After the First World War, there was a great conference at Versailles. And what was the great message? There will be no wars again. This First World War was so terrible. There'll be no more wars again. And yet, well, only a few years later, there was an even worse war than that. Why can we not fix ourselves? Because we're sick. Our souls are sick. You can't go to a doctor to get healed of this. You have to go to the Lord. You have to go to God. God is the one who heals us. I will heal their backsliding. Nobody else. And dear friends, we're all sinners. It's not just the world around us or those who we hear of in the news. This is the problem. This is why this world is so bad, because everyone thinks it's somebody else. It's not me. It's not me. I'm not the sinner. I'm not sick. It's just a few other sick individuals in the world. It's never me. That's why the world is so bad. Because we never want to think it's ourselves. But dear friends, we all need healing. That's the teaching of Scripture. Every single one of us, we are sin-sick in our soul, inwardly. And it's only God who can provide that healing. How does God heal us? Well, He alone has the treatment. If you are sick, well, you need to be treated. Of course, you go to a doctor, you're sick, you need the treatment, and the treatment needs to be applied. And that's how you get healed. Well, what is the treatment for our souls? What is the treatment for our sin-sick souls? Well, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. And specifically, it's the blood of Christ. That's what needs to be applied. The blood of Christ, not just believing in Christ as a prophet, it's the blood of Christ. That needs to be applied to the soul, because it's what Christ did at the cross that truly heals us. Every Christian believes, this is what a Christian believes, that Christ has taken the punishment for their sin. This is what I believe. I believe that I have sinned against God greatly on many occasions because I am a sinner, because I was sin-sick. That's why I have sinned against God. But the punishment for my sin has been turned away from me. It's been turned away from me and has been placed upon Christ. I deserve punishment for my sin, but it's turned away from me. This is what we read here, verse 4. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. Mine anger is turned away from him. This is so important for us to understand. Sinners in the sight of a holy God, well, God must punish sin. But that punishment is turned away from us if we believe in Christ, if we believe that Christ on the cross, he died for me. He was my substitute, my scapegoat. That anger is turned away. And Christ Well, he freely gave himself for us. He freely shed his blood for us. Father, punish me instead of them. I will be their savior. I will be their scapegoat. And that is what he did. He has loved us freely. And this is so wonderful for us. Dear friends, this is what we must embrace. This is the only way we must be healed, the only way we can be healed. With his stripes, we are healed, said the prophet Isaiah. And this is what the gospel message, the Christian message is. So, dear friends, come to the Lord. The Lord was saying to Israel so many years ago, return unto me. Despite all of your sin, return unto me. And again, I repeat it. This is what he says to us now. If there's anybody here, you haven't turned to the Lord. This is what the Lord is saying. When you turn away from the world, when you turn away from all other idols, well, God's anger will be turned away from you. You repent, you turn away from the world, God's anger is turned away from you. And Christ is your Savior. This is so important for us to understand. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. Why would you turn down such an invitation? This is all that God is saying to us. This is the great invitation that God is saying to us. I will love them freely. What a wonderful invitation that is for us. You must come to the Lord. You must repent. You must be born again. You know, when we were born physically, when we were born the first time, and I'm sure this is true of all of you, when your parents, when your father, your mother held you in their arms for the first time, I'm sure they looked at you as a baby and they said to themselves, I will love you freely. I will love you freely. That's the love of a parent. They look at their baby, I will love you freely. No matter what happens, no matter what your condition, when you fall, I will pick you up. If you misbehave, I will forgive you. Well, this is what God promises to us when we are born again. When we are born again, this is God's promise to us. I will love you freely. Even though you are full of weakness and frailty, even though you have greatly sinned in the past, even though you may have rejected me a million times, I will love you freely. And his love remains with us from everlasting to everlasting. This is the greatest love you can ever know. Even the love of your parents, well, one day they will leave us. One day they will die. But God's love is with us forever, even beyond this life. Into eternity. Once you are loved by God, you will never cease to be loved by God. I will love them freely. So, dear friends, if you turn away from God, what exactly is the reason? When you hear these words, when you hear this kind invitation, the invitation of a loving God, full of loving kindness and tenderness, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. God has sent his only begotten Son so that he may be a wonderful and a glorious Savior to us. May we all trust in him and may we love him freely with all our hearts. Come to the Lord, dear friends.